I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading this morning comes from the second chapter of Luke, verses 41 through 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the reading. You know, this particular passage would be great if you wanted to do a sermon on parenting. You see how far they went? I mean, they're gone. And suddenly it dawns on them, their child's not with them. The only thing is if you know the history and you know how the people worked back in those days, and the Hebrew people in particular, if you're with family, you're fine. So they just assumed he was with family, because that's what kids do. They can be with your family, their outside family, their inside family, whatever. So they just really did not think that their son would be disobedient. Did you hear that? He went down with them and was obedient after that. Just a note, could be anything about parenting, or it might be about acting kind of bratty. But whatever the case, I would hope that what we glean from this is what it's like to be a student. Now, you're a student, you grow up. What do? Are you a student for the rest of your life, or do you become a parent and you start teaching your children? Or you may aspire to be a teacher and teach in a school, or at a university level, or at any other level. You could be a pilot. You know, you teach people how to fly if you want to be a flight instructor. But in some form, some of us go from being students to being teachers. And that's an important part, because it's not easy to teach. Now, Jim Spears probably has the easiest job ever. He just loves teaching and going to class every day, and he's always telling me how he's ready to retire. But it's not easy, is it, Jim? No, it's not easy. And for some of you who have taught, you know it's not easy. Even if you were teaching other nurses, or you're teaching flying, whatever it is, it's a difficult thing. So teaching is a great thing, and most of us hopefully aspire to be teachers and move from being student to being teacher. You know, growing up can be a great experience, or it can just be an experience. Whatever it was for us adults, it made us who we are. Think about it. Your schooling, your parents, all of the teachings they gave you, that makes us who we are. All of those experiences shaped our thoughts and our actions. There are parents who say every Christmas, "We got to do it this way because that's the way it's always been done in my family." If you marry someone who had a different experience, then you got some issues. Well, we wrap all the gifts from Santa. Well, we never wrapped them. We set them out in the middle of the night. Well, what do? Experience. It's what makes us who we are. Have you ever heard the old saying, do not judge someone until you have walked a mile in their moccasins? Yep, got a yep. No one knows your experiences like you do. Think about that. No one knows your experiences like you do. You may have told others, tried to explain to others, but having the experience and hearing about the experience are two different things. Man once said, my father began teaching business classes at the local prison through a community college. On his first night of class, he started a chapter on banking. During the course of the lecture, the subject of ATMs came up, and he mentioned that on average, most ATM machines hold about $1,500. Just then, a man in the back raised his hand. He said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but the machine I robbed had about $5,000 in it. See, usually we learn by experience. We can read about it. We may read there's $1,500, but if you've actually robbed one and you found $5,000, you know that's not true. And sometimes we are humbled the hard way. By experience. This reduces our tendency to overestimate our importance. Now, I can stand here and tell you what it's like to be a goalie in the NFL. I mean, NHL. In the NHL. I can't tell you about the NFL. Although that would be interesting to have one. But in the NHL, you're playing in that hockey game. In my game that I played in Detroit against the Chicago Blackhawks, which was the big rivalry, Detroit and Chicago, the place was packed. And I was a kid. I'd been pulled up from the minors to play. And the people that were cheering and jeering and all of the commotion going on in the game and having someone like Bobby Hull. For those of you who know who Bobby Hull is, he had the hardest slap shot in the NHL, 150 miles an hour. Skating in on you. And I got to tell you, I was scared. But I was also elated. I can tell you about that experience, but you will never know. Lest you be there yourself. I can tell you about it. Angela can tell you about being a nurse. She can tell you about what she's done when she got her doctorate. But until you've actually done it, you don't know. You just know what you've been told. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever spoken to a rabbi, been taught by a rabbi. It's kind of interesting. I have many discussions with rabbis. They're very smart people. They're well-educated and highly trained. And they understand and they discuss Scripture. They have what I believe is an incredible experience in learning and understanding Scripture. Jesus was no different at the age of 12. He did have an edge. So Jesus knew Scripture inside and out. He was a master at interpreting Scripture. But more importantly, he knew what in Scripture was true and what was not. And you go, oh, wait a minute, what's not? See, Jesus knew what man had added into Scripture and what God had done in Scripture. Make note, that Scripture has been passed down orally for centuries. Then it gets codified and written. And during that time, people are writing different stories and going, wait, I heard it this way. No, I heard it this way. Well, let's change it. So there is that part in Scripture that is man-made. So what do you think Jesus did? Jesus was the rabbi of all rabbis. His heart was connected to God, not to words written by man. You hear people say, and I've heard people say in nearly 40 years of ministry, Scripture is inerrant. There's absolutely nothing in Scripture that is wrong. It's all right. And we got to ask ourselves, you believe that? The reason why is, think about Jesus. What did he do? He questioned Scripture. And he said, you guys are following the law of man, not of God. Read the Gospels. That's what he says. Because he knew there's that part of Scripture that was written by man. And he says, you need to have God's Word written on your hearts. That's what he says. You see, Jesus was hung on a cross because he questioned the teachings of the Pharisees and the scribes. Because he's saying, what you're reading is wrong. That's not what my Father's all about. My Father is not a killer. He's a lover. He loves you. And they get upset and they say, hey, you're saying that the Scripture has errors in it? Then you ladies are in big trouble. It's a fact. Go back and read the Old Testament. You're not going to find the women, the women working like they do today or questioning their husbands. Heck, they might even get traded off. Right? That's not who we are. Jesus says that's not who we are. Read Leviticus. I'll tell you something. When I was in seminary, we were supposed to read Leviticus and write a paper on it. When we all gathered into the student lounge, we discussed Leviticus, and we all decided we'd rather be stuck with a cattle prod than have to read Leviticus, and especially to write anything on it, because Leviticus is the law. And Leviticus says an awful lot about women and their place. It also talks about food. If you're eating shrimp, lobster, crab, you're breaking the law. Can't do that. It says so in Leviticus. You see, Jesus says we grow and things change. And you made all these food laws because it was necessary to have them, but it's not necessary now. You made all these laws about women. It may have been necessary 2,000 years ago, but it's not necessary now. Jesus says the Old Testament is what was, not what is. He said that. You know, during the tough economic times of 2008, 2009, churches all across the country were seeing a drop in their offerings. Don't know if we saw one here or not, because that's about 3 years before I got here, 2 to 3 years. But a lot of churches did, and one of them was Cross Timbers Community Church in Argyle, Texas. Their drop in income forced them to make some very painful cuts. Even so, the pastor of the church was more concerned about how his members were facing their own tough times of job losses, pay cuts, and foreclosures. So with that in mind, he did something a little different when the church took up an offering one Sunday morning in March of 2009. He didn't encourage people to put money in the plate. He encouraged people to take money out of the plate. Think about that. Some of you might like it if we pass the plate and you get to take instead of give. You know, on that particular Sunday, the church actually took in the largest offering of its 9-year history. People were more than ready to give to those in need, ready to make sure the plate was filled to overflowing as it was passed among those who were suffering. The pastor told CNN, "In these economic times, we can't be so into church business that we forget what our business is, and that is to help people." In the 2 months that followed, listen to this, in the 2 months that followed, Cross Timbers gave $500,000 to members and non-members alike who were facing various financial struggles. One Sunday morning, they gave $50 bills to 1,300 families and asked them to hand them out to those in need. One of the recipients of Cross Timber's generosity was Katie Lewis. When interviewed by CNN, a tearful Lewis said, "I've been alone so long. Just to be thought of and to be remembered, to be welcomed, it's amazing." Now, the Cross Timber's church broke with tradition. What they did is they stopped being students and became the teachers. We learned that you're supposed to help others. Now we're going to teach others how to help. It's a different perspective, isn't it? Now we as a church are going to show others how to help. What if they hadn't? What if they said, "We've always taken an offering and put it in the bank, regular as clockwork. We don't need to break with tradition. We're not going to stop being students of the law, but we're going to start being teachers of the gospel." You see, the difference is in moving from student to teacher. We learn as students. We learn what we are told and taught, as Jesus did. We should be able to express different views and discuss what we are being taught, as Jesus did. But the learning ends if we're told this is the way it is, just do it. It's hard to become a teacher. We should be able to work out for ourselves what is and what isn't. We should be able to take what we have learned and what we have experienced and teach. Hopefully, that is what we do as parents. You hear parents say, "Well, that was good enough for my daddy. It's good enough for me." What if daddy was wrong? What if daddy was raised in the 30s and you're raising a kid in 2000? Big difference. So after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. It doesn't say he agreed with them. They were amazed at his understanding and that he came back on them at 12 years old. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. His mother treasured that he had been disobedient because she knew it was God's will. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Isn't that beautiful storytelling? Think about that. Sitting among the teachers, listening and asking questions. Asking questions, that's critical. Sorry to pick on you, Jim, but if you're teaching and your students never ask a question, do you wonder if they're getting it? They don't ask questions, they're just sitting there trying to get through it. That is a big part of the learning process. If we sit and listen to someone and accept what they tell us without question, we are not truly learning. Jesus asked questions, and because he asked questions, he became a target of those who wanted to just accept, wanted him to just accept what they were saying and teaching. "Don't you get it? Just do what I tell you." Jesus said, "Not me." Yet when they heard Jesus' teachings, they knew he was wiser and more open-minded. That in the Pharisees' world, could not be tolerated. What? Think out of the box? Not me. Guess we're going to have to kill you because you don't think like we do. A researcher found listening to more and more material in a lecture seemed to interfere with learning from the earlier part of the lecture. A class listening to 15 minutes of lecture remembered 41% of what was presented. Those listening to 30 minutes remembered 23% of the material presented in the first 15 minutes. Those listening to 45 minutes remembered only 20% of the material presented in the first 15 minutes. I can see that some of you are displaying a glazed look already. If we are to preach and teach the gospel, If we are to live the gospel, then we should move from being students to being teachers. Teachers with open minds, so that when we tell someone, they can ask questions and we're not offended. So they can say what they want to say and not say, oh, well, you just don't get it. From student to teacher is a very important transition for all of us to make. And if we want to make an impression in this world, when people are leaving the church because they're being told what to believe and told they're not accepted if they don't believe that way, and then we complain because the churches are dying, isn't it like shooting ourselves in the foot? Should we not become teachers and say, what are your questions? Let me work with you and see. Maybe the student can teach the teacher. That's what Jesus did. 12 years old, talking to the rabbis, and they were learning from him. If we are filled with the Spirit, if we are living the life that Christ has called us to live, we will be teachers. And we will listen. And we will accept questions. And that is what's going to make 2019 a better year for us, because we are those people. We listen to what needs to be done, and we work to get it done, to have a better year and a better life. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we know that we come before you all too often and we want to teach you. And yet you are the great teacher. But we also know that when you teach us, we need to spread that word and teach others. So fill us with your Spirit that we may know what to say and what to do and be open to discussing your word with others and keeping an open mind, that they may feel comfortable asking their questions and wanting to be a part of your kingdom. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.